I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Jamie Lee Hamilton joins me now. She's a longtime advocate and a political observer. She's a candidate for Parks Board in this November 19th municipal election here in Vancouver. The party is called IDEA, the Independent Democratic Electoral Alliance. Visit jamieleehamilton.ca for more information. We'll talk to Jamie Lee about the issues in this campaign and more. As a reminder, if you're a candidate running and would like to be on the show, you're more than welcome to contact me at editor@thecommentary.ca, on Twitter at Planta, or by phone 604-909-8787. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program, Jamie Lee Hamilton. Good morning, Ms. Hamilton.
Good morning, Joseph. Thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome. IDEA, this is, I guess, the group that you're running with in this election?
Yes, IDEA is Independent Democratic Electoral Alliance, so it chose to endorse me and the platform that they have, and which I agree with that platform, and also they will be coming out with further recommendations this week, choosing candidates at the park board level that have voiced support of the platform.
And so what are you running on?
Oh, I'm running on, there's a couple main issues here. One is no further commercialization in our parks. There's just been so much privatization happening in our parks. Hastings Park is a prime example where the public has lost access to that park for most of the year. And certainly in Stanley Park and English Bay, we see with the building of the Cactus Club restaurant right on public land. So, you know, that's an issue. And I'm also campaigning against the park board cuts, which were in this last term alone $5.3 million. And children and toddlers and youth bore the brunt of those cuts. So I'm campaigning for a restoration of funding and including the restoration of the children's farmyard and petting zoo.
Now, what are I've heard a bit about the English Bay and the restaurant there.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing at Hastings Park exactly?
Well, Hastings Park is under, it's not under park board jurisdiction, and it should be. In 1888, there was a public trust deed provided to the public that the park should be kept in perpetuity as a wilderness park for that, for the east end of Vancouver, and that hasn't been adhered to. And you have a P&E board chaired by Councillor Raymond Louie that meets in secret, and so the city council is treating Hastings Park like a cash cow for to meet their budgets and to implement some of their pet projects like bike lanes and so forth. So as a consequence, the public has less and less access to that park because Mr. Louie is treating it that it should be a commercial park. You know, we have a racetrack that can't survive without slot machines. So, you know, who's ever heard of having slot machines in a public park? You know, and then that brings all this parking with it, and you know, the P&E, the exhibition should be a fair within the park, but it's more, it takes up a good chunk of the park where it should be more of a temporary, that it can be taken down at the end of the fair, right?
Yeah. Now, the English Bay situation, you mentioned there's a Cactus Club there now.
Yeah.
The argument that I've heard is that it'll bring in revenue for the city. Is that not true?
Well, you know, it's interesting because all these sort of private enterprises that are happening within our parks, the park board doesn't get access. The aquarium's one example, that we don't get access to the books to see exactly the amount that's coming in. And so what these private enterprises get sweetheart deals with, that they don't even have to open during the winter time because apparently the income that's generated, that they give a certain percentage to the park board on a growth. So on a forward time of year, for example, the Stanley Park Dining Pavilion, it closes for most of the winter. So again, the public has less access because the operators don't want to pay out staff wages and so forth during a slower time of year. Talk about a sweetheart deal. No other business in this city can operate like that.
And you mentioned earlier the budget cuts. $5.3 million is my understanding in the last year.
Yes, in the last term.
Yeah.
Which is, 3 years.
Yeah, so there's a financial crisis in the world and the sort. So, I mean, isn't that expected?
Well, you know, it comes down to your priorities. You know, if I was sitting on the park board, the last thing I would cut, if there needed to be cuts, I would never allow for children and toddlers to have their services, their programs cut. That's just reprehensible that park board did that. You know, park board has these pet projects, and you know, they want to see them through, you know, now at the children's farmyard and petting zoo, where many inner city children got great benefit from, and it's educational. Now they're putting in an inauthentic Aboriginal village that there was no public consultation, and you know, so why would you dismantle a children's petting zoo and farmyard and bring in this gimmicky tourist attraction? It's sort of like, you know, I hate to say it, but at one time, do you remember they were talking about the dinosaurs coming into the park? That's the
right.
Same sort of privatization that I get really offended from. We must keep our parks public. You know, tourists are great and they're wonderful, but they only come here a certain part of the year. Parks are meant to be for people, not about profit.
Now, you've been following, obviously, the works and the happenings over at the Parks Board. You're running for Parks Board in this election. You know, I guess, the people on there, the commissioners on there now. Who running again doesn't deserve re-election in your view?
Well, first of all, there's some commissioners that are not seeking re-election, but I think the chairperson, Aaron Jasper, has been a major disappointment. You know, he's presided over these cuts. He wanted to close down the washrooms in the parks. He also voted to support the Cactus Club, but yet a few months previous, when he was an activist in the West End, he voted against that. But once selected, you know, so he's got to go. Sarah Blythe has been totally ineffective on the board. She never speaks. Even during this campaign at the All Candidates meeting, she hasn't shown up to one All Candidate meeting. And, you know, so she's very ineffective, and she's a one-issue candidate. She's all about skate parks.
Skateboarding parks, yeah.
So she's wanting to asphalt, basically, our green spaces, and that's all she's concerned about. I really don't support her. Stuart McKinnon has been good. You know, he's raised the issue about commercialization in our parks, and he opposed the cuts to the children's programs.
Now, he's the NPA candidate, is he?
Green Party.
There's a bit of a joke there. Was he running with, I guess, the NPA?
No, he's the current commissioner.
Yeah, but isn't there some gossip about him playing footsie with some of the NPA folks?
Yes, there is, absolutely. And that's a major concern, because as we know, the NPA is a developer party, and Mr. McKinnon, it's been put out there that they left their seventh spot on park board open for him. And he had a very tight relationship with the MPA Park Commissioner, Ian Robertson. So that's a major concern. On a couple issues, he's been good. But it's up to the voters to decide whether they want, you know, development of our public parks through private companies and developers and so forth.
Now, in your statement in the voter's guide, you say that you want greater autonomy for the Parks Board, and I'm assuming this is not just to be controlled under the eye of those at Cambion 12th on council, the Vision Council or whatever, or the NPA Council, whatever it might be on the 19th. You also want the Parks Board to give the Parks Board the power to tax and borrow.
Yes. And be in control of our public assets.
Yeah, how does that happen?
Well, that can happen through a simple vote. There's always been this relationship with council where council sticks its nose into park board business. And whenever council decides to cut, they do so at the expense of park services. And we saw that with this $5.3 million in cuts. You know, they implemented these bike lanes, and which costs a lot of money for a small percentage of the population, and so they ordered Park Board to make cuts, and Park Board acquiesced and made these cuts. So with a fully independent and autonomous Park Board, you would be accountable to the voters and not to some party slate, some group that's in power at city council.
Occupy Vancouver seems to be the dominant issue in this campaign in the last several weeks, I guess, and I'm sure going into the next Saturday's vote. What are your thoughts on that? You've been down there, have you?
I have. I've been down there 5 times now, and I've brought food down there for the people. You know, it again reinforces that we don't have a lot of, there's this growing disparity between rich and poor in our city, and poor people are just being driven out. And after you've driven out all the poor people, who are you going to drive out next? It's the middle class. And so I have grave concerns that that's what's happening. There's, you know, widespread rampant development happening, and people just can't afford to live here anymore. But at the Park Board, we have these empty field houses, probably about 40 of them, that are in fairly decent shape. You know, you might need to just do a bit of work to bring them up. And those could help address some of the lack of affordability. I'm not saying subsidized housing, but I'm saying affordable housing. And we should be looking at things like that, you know. They're just sitting empty. If we put people in there, you know, and they can be act as security as well for the parks and pay a nominal, you know, rent and affordable rent, and that brings in more income for Park Board and yet addresses the issue of lack of affordability in our city. And I think that's what the Occupy Vancouver protesters are, you know, getting at here, that this city has become a tale of two cities, one for the affluent and the poor and lower income are being shut out.
The field houses, those are the ones that sort of in parks, those little parks and neighborhoods.
Yes.
They're
yes.
the old houses that sit there, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
why are they empty?
Well, because for some reason Park Board has decided for some, they won't come out and say why, but I suspect, you know, we've had some of them become part of these chain brand restaurants. Over, you look over at Kitsilano, there's a little field house there, a one-bedroom field house that had a concession stand. It's sitting empty with breathtaking million-dollar views, and yet the Park Board allowed this building of this other restaurant right on the Kitsilano Park. So I think it really, if you look into it, it's the about development as well, and I think, you know, we're at risk, we've lost English Bay concession. I think we're at risk of losing Sunset Beach concession, where the caretakers there also run the concession. So it's all about development.
Jamie Lee, I appreciate your time today. Good luck with the rest of the campaign.
Thank you very much for having me on, Joseph, and good luck interviewing other candidates.
Thank you. The website for more, jamieleehamilton.ca. Jamie Lee Hamilton is a Parks Board candidate for IDEA. She's on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.